Little children, let us love in word and speech, not in word and speech, but in truth and action. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So recently, I had a need to go through the customer service arm of a large corporation. And I started off with one person and wound up with the manager, and then I wound up with a trainee and their supervisor. It was a fascinating process. But at each level, no one could tell me that they were going to actually do what they needed to do because it was something that had already been published as a fault in their product. And I'm talking with a trainee and being very clear about what I need to have happen, and they're not getting the support from the person who is their supervisor, and they're kind of at a loss. But what I could watch was, here's someone who's joined this organization because they believe in what they do, they're excited to be there, and they're trying to live into the values that they believe the organization has. And it became very clear as I watched the interaction between the trainee and the supervisor that it was actually the trainee that was calling the supervisor into living out what they said they believed. Fascinating process. and what we see in today's gospel is that kind of living out what you believe and the consequences of that and how that relates to our lives. So let's orient ourselves. For the past three Sundays, we've been on the day of the resurrection, and we've been looking at different parts of it. And now we have moved back earlier into Jesus' life. We're at the end, nearly at the end of his ministry, his public ministry. He's just healed the man who was born blind, and that has stirred up all kinds of controversy. And as he begins to talk with his disciples, he says right before this piece, he says, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." And then he says, "I am the good shepherd." Now, this is known as Good Shepherd Sunday, if you didn't kind of figure that out from all of the pastoral things we're singing and all of the shepherd references, etc. This is Good Shepherd Sunday. When I think of the Good Shepherd, I think of going and looking for the 99, or the one, and leaving the 99. I think of Jesus with the lamb on his shoulders and that kind of love and care. But the picture we have of the Good Shepherd today isn't that shepherd. This is the shepherd who's going to die for the sheep. This is the shepherd who's going to die for the sheep. And Jesus makes it very clear as he draws this contrast between the shepherd who dies that the sheep may live and the hired hand who lives because the sheep die. The hired hand who gives up the sheep for his life, and Jesus who gives up his life for the sheep. The folks who would have heard this recognized the hired hand. Sheep form this really core part of Israel's identity. They were a nomadic tribe. Abraham moved through this land, and he had sheep, and he was followed by his sons and sheep and goats, and that part was in their history, sort of like the frontier mentality of Americans. You know, there's that vision. Even though many of us live settled in cities, you know, we're still driving SUVs, and the only time it goes off-road is when it rolls over the tulips. But still, there's that idea, I could take it off-road. So with the Israelites, similar sheep, have that place. And even though many of them are now living in cities and working in occupations where taking sheep out to graze and spending long amount of time with it isn't going to work, they still held sheep and they hired people to do that work. And they had a contract with the hiring that specified that the hired hand had to protect the sheep against a wolf, two dogs and one small animal. I don't know if all of them came at the same time, whether that would work, but a wolf, two dogs, one small animal. But the hired hand could abandon the sheep if they were set on by a lion, a leopard, a bear, or a thief. So this was part of a kind of how it goes. And then Jesus comes in and says, I'm the one who gives up my life for the sheep. And Jesus will go to the cross and give up his life, but his ministry, he's been giving up his life. He's been placing himself in a position where he was pushed aside on behalf of others. When he speaks with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, when he heals lepers and outcasts and eats with tax collectors, when he intervenes in the matter of the woman taken in adultery. At each one of these places, Jesus is putting his life, his reputation, his good name on the line on behalf of others. So it's not just the ultimate gift of life, but an orientation where Jesus says, I am the one who will give up my life that others may live. Because I am, you may be. Now, this is not the first time we've heard these I am sayings, and I have to show you this because I only could name six of the seven I am sayings at the previous service. So the children of the Sunday school went and got their list and said, Mrs. Cox, you missed the resurrection. Oops. But Jesus, through John, has said in seven different times, I am the gate, I am the vine, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the good shepherd. This is the one that is kind of the last of this. I am the one that will provide for you, I am the one that will bring light in the midst of chaos. I am the one that connects you to the Father. I am the door to which you can enter. And now I am the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. And that action, that being, I'm used to hearing the kind of I am sayings and then picking apart the other part, what's happened with the door, the light, the center. But in this place, I want to focus on the I am, because it's the beingness of Jesus, who Jesus is as the one who is willing to sacrifice his life. I am that you may be. I am, as one writer, I am unconditional love. And what the writer said, I think, is important, that unconditional love is not a choice amongst others. You don't say, okay, I'm a complete schmuck. I might give part of my help, but only this far. And yes, I love until when. And then there's unconditional love. It's not kind of in the range, but unconditional life is a way of, unconditional love is a way of being. And so when the father gathers up the infant daughter and says, I would give my life for you, that is a way of being. When a friend is sitting with someone who is dying, who is ill, who is gravely injured, and says, I am here for you, that is a way of being. When someone takes action on behalf of a complete stranger, again, it's a way of being that we have been invited into through Jesus, who is the gate, the vine, the door, the way. I am, Jesus says, that you may be. And those who were listening to Jesus and working out this in the community, we hear in the epistle from the first letter of John about this idea that the being is transferred into acting. It's not just that we are speaking or thinking about it, but it's known in action. So someone said stewardship, Brian McLaren said, stewardship is love in action. I was thinking back to Charles speaking a few weeks ago about, you know, give every dollar a job and the dollars that we give away are the ones that we give jobs for things that we can't do. Putting that being into action, because once you are being one who unconditionally loves, and we step in and out, absolutely. Are we always in that place? No, but we see glimpses of it. We experience glimpses of it from others, and we are that for others. Once you see it and experience it, you speak about it. We've been hearing about how people have experienced that unconditional love in this place, in the face of illness, in the face of addictions, in the face of abuse, in the face of terrible trials and ordinary living. They have found this as a place being and acting. I am that you may be. I am this that you may be, that you may experience it. And that goes on out beyond this place. This is who we are. And it's what we're about, continuing, expanding in this capital campaign. It's not that we're never going to be afraid. It's not that that things are not going to go terribly wrong. It's not that we're not going to have doubts, any of those different things. But collectively, the hope, the expectation, the gift, the joy of community is that when you're in that place, someone else is in that other place of I am that you may be. May it be so in our lives. And I also, you know, as I close and think about how this happens, our kids, our teenagers were talking last week in youth group, and one of them has decided that no child should eat alone at lunchtime. You know, when I think about the Psalm 23, which we didn't read today, but it's in your worship leaflet, I set a table in the midst of my enemies. Is that not a lunch school, a middle school lunchroom? And so this teen has developed a club for making sure that no child eats alone. Love in action. I am that you may be. I'm looking for Jared. I want to make sure this gets back to the classroom. So if y'all can help me with that. But may it be so. Amen.